been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And Barry Kite is here with us, our chartered financial analyst. We got a lot to talk about. It was not a quiet week in the markets. In the economy, in the world, on the earnings front. The Fed weighed in this week. It was a very, very busy week this past week. And, you know, all of these things that occurred this past week will have a whole heck of a lot to do with where the market is headed going forward. And that will be the subject of my newsletter this weekend. We received a lot more evidence this past week on where the Fed is headed, which impacts the multiples that the markets trade at. Also, we received a lot more evidence of where we're at right now with the earnings picture with companies like Apple and Amazon and Meta and Google and AMD all weighing in this past week. They're all members of the S&P 500, and it will be interesting to see where we are at. I should have fresh numbers for you this weekend on where we currently are at with the earnings forecast for this year and next, and with our S&P 500 target price. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are a fee-based only money management firm, and we follow the active path of money management as opposed to the passive path of money management. And I've got Barry Kite here. He's a chartered financial analyst.
Yeah, and what a week in review it is.
Huh? Oh, I mean, my gosh.
I'm trying to figure out where to start. It seems like it, looking at the finished off the week with this employment report, I don't even know. I'm trying to, make up the rest of the week. It's kind of thrown off the rest of the week. I mean, how do you miss you get 517,000 was the increase, and yeah. The estimate was 187. So
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, we'll make sense of it all and what it means. This is my 24th year in the business as a professional money manager. I spent several years early on in my career writing up research reports on individual companies. I follow 6,000 different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, in my BestStocksNowApp.com database. And I try to narrow it down to what I call the Best Stocks Now, which usually is a combination of valuation that makes sense, momentum. We want to have things that are getting some attention from the institutional investors. And then I also look at a lot of charts in the market. That tells me a lot about the health of different sectors of the market, different asset classes, where the weakness is, where the strength is. It all comes together in what I call Best Stocks Now. Well, okay, we'll begin with, and by the way, we have had a lot of very important bits and pieces of news from the Fed and from earnings from companies across America this past week that are all going to give us a much, much better feel.
We've got it from every angle. You got your work cut out for you this
I have my work cut out.
This newsletter.
Yes, I do. And I will be bringing it all together. I can begin with the fact that the S&P 500 made a golden cross yesterday. That's just one bit of evidence, okay? That's a technical bit of evidence, technical analysis. When that 50-day moving average crosses above the 200-day, why is that significant? Because it crossed below and made a death cross about a year ago. Okay, and the market's been in about a one-year bear market. The S&P was down over 20% last year. You had a golden cross on the Dow in late December, early January, and now here we are February 2nd, you get a golden cross on the S&P 500. That's very bullish. And you had one heck of a week in the NASDAQ this past week. It hasn't made a golden cross yet, but it has definitely made a breakout in the market. So let's start with the Fed, okay? That's the big story of the week. The Fed raised interest rates by 25 basis points, and that was what we expected. We're now at 4.5%, the Fed fund rates. And in the past, Jerome Powell did not update his terminal target of interest rates, where he's going to stop, where the Fed will pause. But his last indication was at 5%, just over 5%. So if we're at 4.5% now, we still think that we have two more 25 basis point hikes. And then we will have a pause by the Fed. And, you know, interest rates are kind of indicating that, because interest rates dropped way down to 3.38, somewhere in there, after the Fed announcement. Now, Barry, just go over that Fed announcement. I don't want to bring in the Friday employment report yet, okay? But what was his reasoning for really? I mean, he's gone from 75 to 50 to 25. Why?
Yeah, essentially, you know, you're beginning to see. I mean, the I forget what you said. How many times the word disinflation or deflationary was used in a statement? And so, from a Fed statement standpoint, a much less hawkish, more, you know, we're moving along to, you know, basically to stop cutting and see, you know, and really just, you know, kind of see how things play out, because they're beginning to see parts of it through the system. The one thing that they are concerned about and remain, you know, kind of looking at is obviously employment, but also the services inflation area of the economy.
Well, you know, this disinflation is happening. I mean, we're seeing oil now at $75 per barrel. We're seeing gasoline prices, which have come down a lot from the double-digit inflation days here in America. Food prices seem to have moderated. But the one sticky point that we've been talking about for quite some time, the one that will not cool down, is the jobs market. And that shows up on Friday after the Fed has already said, you know, we're seeing a lot of disinflation. You get a report where the U.S. created 517,000 jobs. Why is that inflationary, Mr. CFA?
Well, obviously there's more, you know, more wages, more dollars, right, chasing goods, number one. Number two is, you know, if those job gains, and let's just say, you know, let's say, for example, you know, we had a bump in productivity this reading, but we have had, you know, lower productivity over time. So you have more workers, less productivity. Well, you're actually, your input costs are actually going to go up. Plus now you've got more folks with a paycheck who are, you know, purchasing goods. And so that naturally increases demand, and prices naturally rise in that part. And
yes,
you know, those wages have proven to be sticky. I mean, I think the unemployment rate came in as like a 52 year low.
Yeah. So that's very, it pushes wages higher, and wages are part of the inflation picture. So, I mean, the market initial reaction when the jobs report came out was this big sell-off in the futures markets of the S&P and the NASDAQ, and then it kind of turned around. But the worry was, well, will the Fed have to go higher than 5%? Will there be three or four more rate hikes? I don't think really that the jobs report really impacted anything, but look,
the Treasury did get over 3.5. I noticed
really,
you know, which
I
is you know,
that.
Moved quickly, but you know we've been around that 3.5 mark, and we got below there for here recently, and so It's a, you know, bond market obviously is gonna tick up a bit whenever you have this. It's probably got to be one of the hottest or biggest misses on the employment report, I would imagine. I don't know.
Well, you're right. The 10-year's up 14 basis points to 3.54, but that's still pretty good. Okay, now we've been saying for several weeks, 2023 is going to be a much better year than 2022. So far, we've been right. We called the bottom in the NASDAQ quite a while ago. We called the Golden Cross in the Dow. And we said it's time to shift away from the value stocks that led the market last year to the growth stocks, because the market is looking beyond. It finally sees light at the end of the rate hike tunnel and an end to the rate hikes, we think, in April of this year. And that's bullish for the growth stocks. But now the growth stocks are getting a little overheated here all of a sudden. All of these cross currents. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I want to talk about the two main components. You know, the market really is a lot simpler than most people realize. It's not as complicated. The two main factors that really drive the S&P 500 and you know, that index are two things. It's earnings. And that's the composite earnings of all the companies in the S&P 500 year by year, quarter by quarter. And then the multiple that we multiply those earnings by to determine what the S&P 500 is worth as an index. And the same works for individual companies. You know, we take a look at their earnings. This comes from my years of writing up research reports on companies. We estimate their earnings over a few years going forward. We apply a multiple to those earnings, and we come up with a target price. And stocks and indexes follow earnings. If earnings continue to grow at a company, the stock will continue to follow as long as the multiple doesn't get too extended. So let's just put this to the test here over the history of the last about 15 years or so. And keep in mind that 107 companies in the S&P 500 reported earnings this past week. And that's why when you get the newsletter this weekend, which I put out every weekend for my clients and subscribers only, you're going to have a much sharper look at where the earnings picture is right now and where the multiple is and what we can expect out of the S&P 500 this year and next year.
Yeah, I mean, with between Apple, Alphabet, or a.k.a. Google, and Amazon, you're looking at, you know, roughly about 12% of the S&P 500 from those three names announcing it.
Exactly.
On Thursday, so.
Now, let's put things in perspective. Right now, the earnings that are coming in are for the fourth quarter of 2022. So when all these companies are done reporting, we'll have our final number for 2022. And it looks like it's going to come in at around $219 per share for the S&P 500. That's the total. That's the aggregate. Now, let's put that in perspective. $219 per share. If you used a 20 multiple on those earnings, you'd get about a $4,400 S&P 500. If you're more in the long-term range of 17, 18, you got an S&P that's worth about $3,800, somewhere in there. We'll come back to that in a minute. But keep in mind, right now, 219 is what we're expected to make in 2022. How does that compare? This cycle, this earnings growth cycle, began in 2009 when earnings bottomed out for the S&P 500 at $61 per share. So earnings have grown over the last 13 years from $61 per share to $219 per share. And the multiple has fluctuated a little, but it's probably averaged somewhere in the 17 to 18 area. And that's why you've seen the S&P 500 go from 667 back in 2009. That was the bottom of that 08-09 bear market and the Great Recession, to today's earnings of $219 per share. Earnings have more than tripled along the way. And, of course, the S&P 500 has gone from 667, and it's been as high as, what, 4,800, I think it got to here at its high last year. That's because earnings have been growing every single year since 2009, except for the COVID year. Which was a drop. It was
47.12 or so was about the high. So yeah,
yeah. From you know, from about 700. Okay.
Yeah, so it was at 666, 667 is as low as the S&P got during 08-09.
So now that we've got a pretty good fix on what 2022, that's looking in the rearview mirror. Okay, that's where the earnings have been. That's the result of the earnings of the last 12 months of 2022. The market not only trades on past earnings, but it trades on expected earnings in the future. With all of these reports now that have come in, 107 S&P 500 companies reporting this past week, we're going to have some, and they give forward guidance, okay? And the analysts take that forward guidance, and they come up with pro forma earnings going out over the next couple of years. Those are the earnings expectations. And we add all of those expectations up, and we get a forecast for 2023, and a forecast even more importantly right now, the market's looking out to 2024. Will this run of 13 years in a row of earnings increases continue next year? Or this year, the year that we're now in, and next year, because that's what holds the key. That's more important than any other indicator in the market. You can look at golden crosses and moving averages and Bollinger Bands and all the different things and all the different forecasts from the newsletter writers, etc. And in the end, it's a simple formula. It's the earnings estimates going forward times a multiple. Okay, so now we've got kind of a feel for where the earnings are at. We don't have a feel for where future earnings are at. We do have expectations, however. And we're getting a much better feel now that we have so many companies that have reported. So in my newsletter every week, I've been doing this now for 23 years. I'm usually right about where the market ends up each year because it's a mathematical equation. We take the earnings estimates and we apply a multiple that we think is in the appropriate multiple given many things. But the biggest factor in determining the multiple is the interest rate environment. So as we had interest rates falling, the multiple got fat. And in fact, this time last year, the multiple on the S&P was about 23 times earnings. That's way beyond the mean. The mean over the long haul has been 16 to 18. How did the market allow a 23 multiple and to get so out of whack? It was because of the Fed keeping interest rates so low, which enlarges the multiple, and so much money sloshing around. And that's one of the reasons that they had to start raising interest rates to rein in a lot of overheated assets like Bitcoin, like the bond market, like the NASDAQ tech stocks, like the innovation stocks. They were way overbought, way too expensive. And so what happened, the Fed started raising interest rates, and don't forget home prices, don't forget oil prices, don't forget food prices, everything was bloated. And when we come back, we'll talk about what happened to the multiple last year and what we think is going to happen now, because we've got more data from the Fed this past week, and that's a big help. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Okay, where we left off was earnings. Okay, that's a big part of the valuation equation for the S&P 500. And why did the multiple on those earnings get to 23 this time last year, or basically January of last year? Because interest rates were basically at zero. The Fed fund rates were 0.25%. And you had the 10-year down around, what, one? Got down around one at one point in time. So that's what caused the bloating of all of these assets. And so when the Fed started announcing that they were going to start reining in rates, it was time to get off the railroad tracks of high P.E. stocks that even went beyond 23. I mean, the NASDAQ stocks were more like 40 or 50. And you saw what happened as the Fed started to hike interest rates. The higher the P.E., the more the stock got hit. The NASDAQ was down 35% last year. The Dow was only down 10% last year because the P.E. ratio of the Dow tends to be quite a bit lower than the NASDAQ. Now, what happened late last year, it looked like the Fed was finally starting to slow down. It kind of happened in, I think it was November, yes, when the Fed said that we can slow down to 50 basis points in December. That was a seminal moment because at that point, the bond market bottomed.
We had 75.
Yes, we had 4.75s in a row, basis. And that just crushed the multiple. The multiple of the S&P 500 went from 23 down to 17, down to 15 at one point in time last year. So if you're multiplying, the earnings didn't fall at all. But if you're multiplying those earnings by a much lower multiple, that's why you saw that air come out of the markets.
Yeah, that's a 35% drop, right, from 23 to 15.
So obviously now what you want to look for, and which we started looking for in last November, was a signal that the Fed will eventually reach their target on Fed funds. Are they going to go to 12%, 8%, 7%? He signaled that we're going to go to about 5%, a little over 5%. So if you did the math at that time, and the Fed was at 4.25, you say, well, three more 25 hikes and they're done. We just got the first one. We just got a 25 basis point hike this past week. So now they've gone from 75 to 50 to 25. So now the multiple not only has stabilized, we've seen the multiple start to climb back up in anticipation of a halt to interest rate hikes, probably April, could be the last one. The jobs market kind of throws things off a little bit. But we still think that they'll be done, and the market is pricing in a 78% chance that interest rates will be lower by the end of this year than they are now. So now you've got this return to growth stocks because you've got a stable multiple, even one that could go lower, and the earnings picture still looks decent. It's not like we're going to have 20% growth in earnings this year and next, but we're going to have enough to warrant a higher S&P 500 from where we are now. Now, a lot of that depends on where we went this past week with those estimates. I'm going to have a very important update for you in this week's newsletter in my macro outlook section. That's the key to the market, is what the target price in the S&P 500. The consensus target price out there on the street right now is about 4,500. Okay, that's where they think the S&P will end up this year. We're at about 4,100 right now. We were at 3,800 not that long ago because all of this Fed cooling off has really kind of caused a little bit of a party in the market, and the market's probably a little bit ahead of itself. But the biggest change from last year is this shift away from low PE value dividend paying short duration stocks to the longer duration growth stocks, which, you know, you could just say it's the tech sector. And we started to see Meta move last November. It bottomed. Then we saw Netflix start to move and break out. And now it's being followed by big earnings from AMD. Apple, after initial sell-off, is actually now, trading up. So the tech and the growth stocks, Thursday was the biggest day I've seen in the growth stocks in a long, long time. Too far, too fast, yes. But at the same time, it just verifies what we've been saying. The market's going to come back to the growth stocks. And you can look, I write for Seeking Alpha. I try to put out one article a week. And several weeks ago, I said the NASDAQ has bottomed. And that was the NASDAQ much lower than where it is today. And we were right. Back in 2020, we said the S&P has bottomed. In March of 2020, during the COVID year, and we almost called the exact bottom in the S&P at that point in time. And the reason...
Yeah, and the difference being one was a V-shaped recovery, right? And, of course, in terms of the NASDAQ, like you said, came a bit far, a bit fast. But certainly, the index has certainly seen, certainly shown the bottom, a bottoming pattern at the moment, and should hold even after some poor earnings from some not that exciting earnings from Apple, Amazon, and Google.
Yes, and from a technical point of view, okay, so you had the market, the NASDAQ, in a downtrend all of last year, like a plane coming in for a landing. It's descending. We call that a number four downtrend. We just use a simple 1, 2, 3, 4 pattern. Then it came in for a landing, okay? It started to bottom, and it started to go sideways. We call that a number one pattern. It's now going sideways, and all of these panicked investors are finally kind of capitulated and have done all the selling they're going to do. Oh, there will still be more selling, but that selling is being met by buying now. The dips in the market are being bought, whereas last year you had the any rally in the market was sold. You have an opposite. You're going from distribution to accumulation. Then you get down and you're going along that runway flat, leveling off, and then you start to ascend again. And that's what we saw in the Dow late December. That's what we saw in the S&P 500 several weeks ago. And now, of course, the NASDAQ started doing it also several weeks ago. So now we kind of got to let the dust settle here. We've had a really wild week in the market. We've had action on the multiple front where the Fed is determining what you can multiply those earnings by. And we had a lot of news this past week in the earnings side of the equation. And now we can really stop. I think the market needs to stop right now, let the dust settle a little bit, and let's take a look at where we are right now with the earnings expectations for this year, next year, and what kind of multiple is appropriate, and we'll determine our target price. If our target price is 4,000, that's not good, right? Because the S&P is at 4,100 right now. If our target price is at 4,500, well, that's okay. You know, we've got 8, 9, 10% potential going higher. So it's going to be really interesting. It'll be a very interesting newsletter, and I'm going to do my best to, really sharpen my pencil on the earnings estimates for the S&P 500 because they all add up to that aggregate estimate that is so critical
right now. And generally speaking, the consensus on the street is behind the curve because it's an average. And some of those averages were submitted months ago, and a lot has changed since then. You need to know exactly where we're at right now. So if you get – I only send my newsletter out to subscribers and clients. And to get my newsletter, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. I offer two free weeks, that's it. And then we go back to a trimmed-down version of the newsletter, which you can continue to get. It has a lot of information in it. So you have to go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. Now, we'll kind of just review some of the highlights from the earnings season when we come back, if we can notice any trends, because there were some bad earnings reports. They seem to come from one area of the market, and the good earnings reports seem to come from another area of the market. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Keit. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do, live whoever you wanna do. You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Week in Review show. And it's been a big week. 107 companies in the S&P 500 reported earnings this past week. There were highlights, there were lowlights. Let's begin with the highlights. For me, the earnings report of the week came from the company formerly known as Facebook. Not a well-liked company. I don't think Zuckerberg is a well-liked CEO.
That's one of the things that Washington can agree on is that their dislike for Facebook.
But it's been a tremendous comeback in the stock, Meta, and the stock was up 25% on Thursday. Just unbelievable blowout numbers.
Biggest wealth jump for old Zuckerberg that he's ever had in one day.
And I think it's worthy of note that this whole rebound in the NASDAQ finally bottomed. As we look back, at the same time the bond market bottomed and interest rates peaked, it only makes sense that that's when the NASDAQ bottomed and started to turn around. You know, we look back at the bottom of the NASDAQ, it was 10,088 back in November. As the market started to look ahead to a friendlier interest rate environment, which would allow the multiples to expand on these growth stocks. And the first one that we started moving and taking off was Meta. We're not big fans. We have owned it in the past. We've got a research report out there on Meta. But it's the stock of the week from my standpoint. The second...
It was one of the first ones that really got hit and became one of the first big ones that got hit and became cheap. I'd probably guess say, you know, probably them and Netflix, but I mean, I wouldn't call Netflix cheap. But I mean, remember the multiple? I mean, the premise 10. Of that story on Facebook was the fact that, you know, everyone hated it, which is why unduly the multiple was so low.
The multiple got down to 10x, 10 times. Which the market was more at 17, 18. That's how out of favor he was. Okay, there was a Tesla bottom earlier this year at 100. It's almost back to 200 right now. Tremendous. There was another CEO that was attacked about the, with his Twitter purchase and people all of a sudden being embarrassed and ashamed to drive Teslas and whatnot. But, man, the stock turned around big time when it got down to 100. The second-best earnings report of the week for me was AMD, which, look, in the chip sector, it is the king of chips. At the bottom of the food chain in the chip sector is Intel.
and it's been that way for a long time. Intel has fallen way behind. AMD has been eating their lunch now for several years. AMD had a knock the ball out of the park report. It was up 11% on Wednesday. We own AMD. It was, for me, the second best report of the week. And then, you know, the three laggards on Thursday, Apple, they had a drop in sales. That just doesn't happen at Apple. But, you know,
yeah, it was like the first time in, I'm trying to think, it was for some in a long time. It was,
yeah. But this whole, you know, this whole iPhone thing, you know, the fervor over it has pretty much come to an end. Unless they can come out with something that you just got to have. I don't know what it would be. Foldable, I don't know what it will be.
And Google, to me, the one that, you know, kind of, to me, is the most surprising and kind of the most, you know, company in terms of business model that's really, you know, kind of under attack is really Google. I mean, short of, you know, of course, they've got their, you know, new lawsuit with the, you know, with the government. You've got, you know, some of the kind of chatbot stuff or AI stuff that's going to, you know, can kind of, you know, essentially make some of their search engine, you know, kind of proprietary search engine, you know, invalid. So they've, that's an interesting, we're going to read one,
yep.
You know, read, if you want to read something, I think reading the transcript from the Google reports are pretty.
Now, the chart of Google looks very, very good. It has broken out to the upside. It's just more evidence of this return to these growth stocks. And the other one that reported this past week was Amazon. And I've been saying that, you know, I worry about Amazon's their margins. They've got a lot of overhead. They're cutting. I mean, they cut, what are they laying off, 12,000, something like that. They're starting to charge for delivery, a minimum order from Whole Foods Market and whatnot, the fresh deliveries. But I do like the fact that they're looking, you know, they're going to lose money in 2022, but they're looking to rebound this year to $1.72 in earnings and $2.84 next year. So I think we can use that 2.84 number now and put a multiple on that, given their growth rate, and come up with a better target for Amazon. But of all the tech stocks, that's the one I worry the most about. We don't own Amazon at our firm. I own some shares myself just because I use it so much. But that's kind of the – now, the poor results came from the oil and gas. They had good reports, but oil's dropped to $75 per barrel. So you had weakness in the energy stocks this past week. Now, on Wednesday, I know it was tempting to say, just sell everything and buy NASDAQ tech stocks. I don't think that's a smart thing to do. I think there will be a lot of big down days for the NASDAQ tech stocks going forward because they're going to be watching inflation and the Fed and all this and that, and they've gotten ahead of themselves. I still think that the oil and gas stocks – I think you still want to be kind of have a mixed attack in the market right now. And then, of course, if you're really risk adverse, we're finding individual bonds that are paying 5.5 to 6% right now. You know, that sounds pretty good over the next 3 years, 5.5 to 6% versus, you know, the what will the market do. So for the faint of heart, that's another option that you have, or a mixture of all of those. This year, our ultra growth portfolio is doing the best. It's up double digits so far out of the gate, whereas yet last year it was down double digits because the higher PE, higher growth stocks lagged the market. All right, well, look, we're going to do a newsletter this week, and you'll get a good idea of where we're at in the market. We have a lot of new evidence this past week, a lot of new evidence. Go to GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like a consultation about your portfolio and where it's at and what we think at this current time, you can set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.